Tonight is a special celebration that we've waited a long, long while for. The calling of a pastor is not the same as the hiring of a CEO in a financial business situation. First thing that's different, it takes longer. Much longer. More people are involved. In a church, you've got all the members to think about. You've got the church leadership to think about. You must find the candidate and get his permission and his wife's permission. And then you must make sure it's okay with the denomination. When you get all these things in a row, then you perhaps you can give a pastoral candidate that's coming. But the candidate can only come when another important thing happens. It can only take place when there's a sense of God's call on the man and his wife and on the congregation. And this sense of call or the sense that this is the right person in the right place only comes when people pray. So as an elder in this church, I would like to thank my people, first of all, of course, for your patience and your understanding through the last years, but most of all for your prayers. If you hadn't prayed, we wouldn't be here on this occasion tonight. I want to thank you for that. But I want to thank Pastor Barry and his good wife, Beverly, for recognizing God's call when we invited them to come a year ago. We thank you for coming. We thank you for recognizing God's call on your life for this place. We'd like to thank Pastor David Krause and his wife, Karen, for accepting God's call in their heart and coming here. It wasn't easy for them. They've got children and grandchildren in Calgary. You moms will understand that. So we do thank you for accepting the call to this place. Pastor David Krause, what can I say about him? I've done some reading. He was born in Alberta, which is a good place to start off. He grew up on an apple farm in BC. He went to the University of British Columbia. Then, as he got older, he was getting smarter. He came east and couldn't resist that one. He came east to Central Baptist Seminary. Later on, he went to Fuller Seminary. But while he was at Baptist Seminary, I don't know how this happened. The rumor is that he had a blind date or a double date or something or other, and he met Karen. And he got real smart and fell in love with Karen. Now, Karen comes from Ontario. She came from the Beaver Valley area up near Collingwood. His first pastorate was in Palmerston Missionary Church. And in respect to all the good Baptists present, that was a smart move too when he switched denominations. After 5 years in Palmerston, Ontario, he moved to Calgary and pastored the Bonavista Church in Calgary, a church that was only a year or so old at that point, and it's growing and a well-established church at this time. After 16 years there, he was asked to be district superintendent of Canada West District of the Evangelical Missionary Church, and he was DS for 13 years. Now, and then he was invited back to Bonavista as associate pastor for another 5 years. And through those years as well, for six of those years, three different terms, for the total of 6 years, he was president of the denomination. Very effective man, a good leader, a man that is respected. He's taught in colleges. He's served outside of the denomination on boards. He's served on many, many boards and committees in the denomination. If I may give you a personal comment or two, for a number of years, when he was DS in the West and Dr. Alfred Reese was president of the church, we would have to meet twice a year in Fort Wayne, Indiana for meetings of world partners, the missionary board of our denomination. And David would fly to Toronto, and we'd drive from Toronto to Fort Wayne for a day or day and a half meetings and drive back. I learned more about how churches operate on those drives than you'll ever know. My great regret is I didn't carry a tape recorder. I could have written a book, because these men of God would take the church apart and put it back together about three times on that each trip. Other thing I learned about David was that when it was late at night and all the rest of us couldn't drive because we were so sleepy, if we gave him something to eat and something, a Coke and some peanuts, he'd drive through the whole night. I don't know what that's got to do with being a senior pastor, but But I'm saying that to say that he is now my pastor. He's always been my friend ever since I've known him. So it's a pleasure and an honor to introduce to you my friend, my pastor, Reverend David Krause.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate your kindness and that this occasion has arrived. Now, Murray was emphasizing the various steps in which I got smarter, but one that I'm not sure he remembered or planned to mention, but when I married Karen, I got much smarter because her maiden name was Karen Smart. And some of you will know Edwin Smart, and who is here tonight, and Edwin is my wife's nephew, so we have a family connection there. Thank you for your kind encouragements. We especially want to thank you for your prayers over these past weeks and months. It has been an amazing journey for us. And I appreciated what was said, that we need to have the sense that God was directing. I can assure you that Karen and I would not be here if there was not an overwhelming sense that came into our lives that this was God's direction. In all common sense reasoning, we would not be here. But we're excited about being here because we came to that place where we say with great confidence, God has led, God has called, God has melded our hearts to the Markham Missionary Church. And that came initially through the elders of the church. That was our contact and our discussion. And so I want to thank you. Thank you, Murray, for your kind comments and your enduring friendship in times when Alf Reese and I'm sure, scared him as he was listening to the different ideas that we would suggest. But probably kept both of us on a steady course as Murray would call us back to that common sense quality that Murray has. And to all of the elders, we thank you for your consideration and the administration board of the church here of where you've just made things happen so that we could be here and be in place by this time. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for Markham Missionary Church. We have unlimited opportunities as you see the growth of this community. And Counselor, I just want to express I'm impressed with the community. It's our privilege to join and be part of it and to see the quality of many features of what's happening here and to see all of the preparation going on for more construction, probably in our backyard as to where we've moved. But to realize that God has a mission field all around us here, right here, to be a missional church that thinks mission in every level of what we do, whether it's in the building or outside of the building. How are we partnering with God's mission in the world? And then to realize that you, as members of the church, are ministers, are called of God to do ministry, and that Karen and I get to come and join you and give teaching and leadership in that. But there's very much a sense in which we're not coming here to do the ministry of the church, but to partner with you. And that as God leads us collectively, what we can do together is so much more than what we can do as individuals. And so I trust that in the days ahead, that God will give us a heart connection with one another and a heart for the ministry that he uniquely calls us to. You know, Markham Missionary Church is different than any other church in the world. There are some things about you that are unique. I'm learning some of them, but I'm sure I'll learn many more. But of all the churches around here and all those kind comments that were made, we're different than People's Church. We're different than Central United Church. And because of you being here, it shapes us into a certain personality. And we can reach a segment of God's harvest field that no one else can. And our task now is to define that. Our task now is to identify that and get ourselves out into the field and to bring people to the good news of Jesus Christ. What an exciting journey. We know that there is going to be supernatural things happen in our future. And now we can journey ahead and discover those things. So thank you for your warm welcome. Thank you for your presence here tonight. And I just see a number of friends and acquaintances from a variety of places that weren't on a list that's been announced. But thank you for coming. That means so much. And we appreciate you being here tonight. Now, it's also our privilege tonight to have Reverend Phil Delso present. He's going to be speaking to us in just a few moments. And I get the privilege of introducing him. I kind of invited myself to have this privilege, Phil. I think you deserve that, actually, to have me introduce you. Phil has been a pastor. He's been a teacher, been a professor. He's been president. Was it always interim or was it full president of Emmanuel Bible College? I watched this from a distance. Interim. He was all interim president of Emmanuel Bible College at the same time that he was district superintendent and has led as district superintendent in the Canada East District with distinction. And now he is president of our Fellowship of Churches, the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada. And he's come to this office at a major transition time in our organizational structure and in our thinking about how we do church and how we need to shift to being missionary in all that we do, whether at home or abroad. And I've appreciated Phil's capacity to think through theological issues and missional issues like that and to enter, lead us in the discussion and consideration of things like that. His passion is to see us do everything we can to be fully Great Commission and Great Commandment people. Now that he's president of the churches across Canada, he has to visit some churches in some very far-flung areas of that wilderness that is Western Canada. He has to be very adaptable. We were able to get some pictorial evidence of how far Phil will go to reach our people. You know, when the roads out there are impassable, he finds a way. You just got to soak that up and appreciate what that picture means. In fact, he still takes his team with him when he goes on these amazing treks. Let's go on to the next picture. You will see that Phil is driving this dog sled and this dog team, and he has with him Elsie Skorick, his missions administrator in the West, and he has Paul Brander also in that sled, our Relief and Development Director. So we know that nothing can stop our intrepid mountain man, dog-mushing Phil Delso. Let's see that next picture. And when we appreciate what he is able to accomplish under adverse circumstances, I think we better pay close attention or he'll find us one way or the other. Welcome, Phil Delso.
God bless you. With that, we're done.
Well, I guess that was payback, was it, David? I hope you're inviting me back soon. This is indeed a really special privilege. David, you and I go back to the early 70s. And so do Barry and I go back to the early 70s. And the common link is Central Baptist Seminary and how God used that institution in shaping us in our training. So we have a lot to be thankful for there. And God has brought us to this point. Let me just say that when I heard that Barry might be available, that Barry and Bev might be available for ministry, and I thought about Markham, I said, yes, Lord, that would be wonderful if that happened. And Lloyd will remember that. And then it happened. Praise God that it happened. And then when I heard that David and Karen might be available, I thought, oh, Lord, that would be a wonderful fit. And here, by the grace of God, we are here celebrating what God has done in putting together a wonderful leadership team. as you folk have been praying and staying faithful, as Lloyd has indicated, these have been tough days, and some of you will know how tough they have been particularly. But thank you for your willingness to see through what God has been calling you to through these 4 years. These have been very, very important days. And thank you for your leadership, Lloyd and the other elders. That has been just so, so important to the congregation. There have been many, many prayers that have gone up, and we are just so thankful to be at this point. Now, I don't have any nice pictures to show you of David. I'll be prepared next time. But what I do have is, in the next few moments, the opportunity to turn your attention to the Scriptures and to draw a few lessons on leadership from the Scriptures. I thought David is a well-experienced leader, and you've heard his credentials, how God has been able to use him over the years. And so I thought I would turn to another experienced leader that we read much about in the Scriptures, and his name happens to be David, King David. And we could look at many places for leadership lessons. For example, Psalm 23, which we think of as the shepherd's psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want," which describes God in terms of the shepherd's role. But where did David learn those lessons? Out of his own experience in understanding what leadership's about. And of course, we know that a good shepherd provides, and he leads, and he feeds, and he protects. And these are important leadership lessons. And I know that David Krause has demonstrated that in his role as a pastor, and as a district superintendent, and as president of the EMC. Bless you, David, for that. But as I reflect a little more, I thought perhaps there was some other place, and there is much, much to dig into, some 73 psalms that are particularly attributed to David. And I know that in leadership, there is often some particular leadership challenges in adversity. And this is true, that in this life you will have tribulation, so our Savior said. And Job commented that trouble is to man as surely as the sparks fly upwards. And we know that's the case. And if you were to ask any pastor, you would know that that comes with the territory. And so I thought we would turn to Psalm 63 for a few lessons. And this is a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. And verse 11 indicates that this was when David was already king, and he was in the desert of Judah. And we know from the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 15, that there was a particular occasion when King David was already in the desert. And that was when he fled for his life because his son Absalom had sought his throne. And so, friends, as I'm speaking to David, I hope that we will all draw some lessons here on how to follow after God in the midst of adversity. Because, David, I know that you'll have good years of ministry here, but I also know that the enemy will do whatever he can to discourage you, to discourage your co-workers, your partners in the great gospel ministry. Let's recognize that when we read this psalm, this is a man who has experienced the very depths of all that could go wrong. Family betrayal. This goes beyond disappointment. Absalom, his beloved Absalom, has betrayed him and has sought his life. He has experienced material loss. Where is he? He is not in the palace. He is literally out in the desert, sleeping on the ground. He is filled with fear, or should be, because there are those who are seeking his life, quite literally. There is the issue of public disgrace. Here is the king who should be honored, and who should be seen in his pomp and circumstance, who has had to flee his city And this is the background to the psalm. And so let's listen as we read in Psalm 63 what David, this man pushed to the very extremities, has got to say. I believe that we are reading lessons in leadership in times of adversity. Follow, if you will, as I read. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And this, friends, appreciate, is not simply a metaphor. This is not a word picture. David is in a place of such lack of water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And here he is eating camp rations. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. There are lessons here of leadership in adversity, David. And they are lessons that I know you have lived. But if you are like the rest of us, reminders are always in order. And so we see here a leader who understands the importance of earnestly seeking after God. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. This is no casual faith. This is no part-time faith. This is indeed the very heart and soul of who he is. We see here a clear recollection of God's glory and power in verse 2. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I've seen you. And I've beheld your power and your glory. This is a man who has seen God in worship. He has experienced it profoundly. This is also a man who has testified to the unfailing love of God. And verse 3 is a verse we often focus on, and this is a good place to focus, in which David says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Because your love, this is the same word that's translated mercy in the authorized version in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy. Or the NIV does translate it love. But this is the covenant love. The love in which God makes a promise and keeps a promise. And understand how important it was for King David. Because he had none of the physical evidence around him of God's mercy and love. Where was he? He was in the desert. He was fleeing for his life. He was sleeping under the stars. He didn't know whether or not this was his last day on earth. And yet, he says, because your love, your unfailing love, your steadfast faithfulness, all these different ways that we translate this particular word, is better than life. What? My lips will glorify you. Lessons of leadership in adversity. An earnest seeking after God, a clear recollection of God's glory and power, a profound experience of God's covenant love. And David Krause, if we were to interview you and ask you, tell us about those times in which you've seen God come through, you would have many stories to tell. I know. We're talking here about our own walk with God. Now let's go on just a little bit further. We see in verses 4 and 5 a commitment to praise and worship. The Westminster Catechism, question number 1. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. There must be some Presbyterians in the crowd. And that is such a wonderful statement about what life on this earth is. The purpose-driven life is to enjoy God and to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is indeed the purpose-driven life. And here we see a profound commitment that David makes that in the midst of adversity, when things are going wrong, he will do what? He will praise God. He will praise God. And you didn't get to this point as a congregation apart from this. You have praised God through those times of adversity. We also see David's commitment to a deep reflection on the ways of God as he is lying on the ground in the Judean desert. What do we read? On my bed. You can imagine his bed. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. I think of you through the watches of the night. Thank God for times of adversity that give us time and occasion to reflect upon the ways of God. These are not to be despised. They are to be cherished as opportunities to hear and to understand the ways of God more profoundly. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. Where is your security? Where is your confidence? I know that for David and for Karen, this has been a particularly a time of sorting out where their security is, where their priorities are. And God has led them to this place. And I am confident that whatever decision God led them to, that it would be one that was made with integrity. But I know that for them to make a move across the country was indeed a challenge. And they had to decide where their security was. And it was, in fact, finding it under the shelter of God's overshadowing wings. And that's why they have come with confidence and with joy and with expectancy, because of that profound sense of seeking after God and His ways. Let's move on to verse 6, in which we see this, or to verse 9 and 10 rather, in which we have the strong assurance that God will set things right. Long before Romans 8 and 28 and the Apostle Paul, David was saying the same thing, wasn't he? We walk by faith and not by sight, and we know that God is at work in all things, even the horrible circumstances that he was in. And God will defeat the enemy. God will defeat the enemy, and there will be a time of rejoicing again. And these are foundational principles, and these are what hold us in those times of adversity. I want you to note that in the first couple of verses of this psalm, that David likens his seeking after God to the essential of water. You see that? My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And that he also likens his seeking after God to food, which is another essential of life. And we read that in verse 5. My soul will be satisfied with the richest of foods. And then in 6 and 7, David likens his seeking after God to the necessity that we have for shelter, a place that is secure. On my bed, he says, and under the shadow of your wings. David recognizes that at the very heart of life and of existence is this security that nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. And so now, having looked at the Psalm, David, I want to go back to the very beginning of this Psalm, to the first line. O God, you are my God. O God, you are my God. There are many things that vie for the place of God in our lives. There are many things that vie for the place of God in our lives. And sometimes we don't even realize that something or someone else has usurped that place. But you see, when King David was driven to these extremities, he understood again. And he was able to answer with clarity this question: who sits on the throne of my life? Who sits on the throne of my life? And so he declares, O God, you are my God. And I suspect, David, that in the course of your good ministry here, and let me say David and Barry and Karen and Bev, because you are forming the core leadership team here, I suspect that you will find that there will be many, many challenges, and that you will find that you will be time and again tempted to substitute something or someone else for the place of God. And that's not because you're weak, but you are like the rest of us, and you will be tempted. And because your position is prominent and important to the life and work of this congregation, it's so important that your people know that you have indeed clearly anchored yourself in God, and that you will say, O God, you are my God. I worship you alone. You alone sit on the throne of my life. You are the one. You are the one. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. And you say that, and you can say that, because you have first of all affirmed, O God, you are my God. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you, Phil, for those words of challenge. It is my privilege to be here this evening to be a part of the service. And in one way, I feel very inadequate. Here I am, a associate pastor, inducting the past president of the National Church. It's almost like the custodian, you know, coming up and hiring the CEO of a huge business organization. And yet, in Christ's kingdom, we're all brothers and sisters. And over the years that I've gotten to know David and Karen, I've really appreciated his leadership, but even more than that, his friendship. I've had the privilege of serving with David on the national board and have really seen his wisdom, his insight, and his ability to lead. And I'm very excited for you here at Markham, that David has come, and that you're willing to work together with him to advance God's kingdom in this place and around the world. And I trust that in the days and months ahead, we'll hear great and wonderful things happening here at Markham because of your willingness to work together. As we come to this time of the induction of you accepting David as your senior pastor and David accepting you, in a sense, as his congregation to work with, I want to read to you a couple of words that this induction service that we're going to be going through is really based on. And it's one of the principles of Scripture, I think, that sometimes we forget about. And as I read it, I think it'll just kind of jump out to you. The Apostle Paul was writing to a group of churches in the area of Ephesus. And it's kind of in Asia Minor there. And he was writing to them to let them know what it really meant to have a pastor or a leader. And this is what he said to them. It was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We need to understand that by having David come to be your pastor, what you're saying is not, well, now we've got a pastor so we can sit back and let him do the work. That's not at all what this passage is saying. And what you're going to be committing yourselves to, what Paul is saying is now you have a pastor who is here to help you, to train you, to equip you so you can do the work of service. In other words, your work isn't over. It's beginning afresh and anew. And I trust that you will follow David's leadership as he comes to be your senior pastor, and that you will do those works of service so that God's kingdom will truly grow in this area. So David, please come, and at this time, we'll have the induction service. The words are going to be on the screen for you to take a look at, and you'll be participating in part of this, and I'll try and cue you as to where you need to stand and where you need to be a part of it. It is our belief that Christ's call to particular service within his church comes both to the church as a whole and to the individual. God shapes the thinking and the background of each of his servants, and he also guides the church in its assessment of individual gifts. Are you convinced, David, that you're called to this particular ministry, to seek to fulfill the purpose of God's here among the people of Markham Missionary Church?
I am persuaded of that.
Members and friends of Markham Missionary Church, are you persuaded that Reverend David Kraus is a man whom God has brought here to be your pastor? Will you please indicate your positive response by standing to your feet? Because you, David Kraus, and you, the people of Markham Missionary Church, are the ones who are going to give yourselves to share the ministry here, we invite you to respond to each other in our hearing this evening.
I believe that you, the fellowship of Markham Missionary Church, are the people among whom I am intended by God to live and to serve you. It is in this belief that I have accepted the call to your fellowship, and it is in this belief that I now affirm my acceptance of your invitation.
We ask you, Reverend David Kraus, to give us some assurances that you accept this position of ministry. Will you do your utmost through the strength
help, I will. Do you understand yourselves to be sharing in Christ's service with me in the fellowship of this church? Will you be sensitive to my needs and to those of my family? Will you assure me of your encouragement and prayers as I involve myself with you in ministry. Will you commit yourselves willingly to those tasks which we will take up together in our service of Christ here?
With the help of God, we will try to do all these things.
Now, we who are here as Christian friends and have witnessed your commitment one to each other, to declare our joy and confidence in your coming together for the service of Christ, and to commit yourselves and ourselves to supporting you in this mission, I ask that you will rise with us and stand and pray for David and for the church here. Please stand. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what joy is in our hearts to hear these words of commitment between a pastor and a local congregation. Father, I ask that you who also are a witness here tonight have heard the words of support, of mutual support, one for each other. And Father, that you truly will allow this church to be a light, to be a force against the darkness, and that you will raise up this congregation to serve you and to move forward. And Father, for David, I pray that you will truly allow your blessing to rest upon him. I pray that you will open his eyes so that he might know that hope to which you have called him, the riches and the glorious inheritance of the saints, and that incomparable great power towards all who believe. And may he sense that strength and that power as he leads this congregation. Father, we are grateful. And so we ask truly your blessing to rest upon this place. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. For we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
We're going to have a prayer commissioning for Pastor David and Karen and Pastor Barry and Deb, and I'll ask you to come and join us here. I'll ask those who are involved in pastoral ministry, and I'll ask the elders as well to come and join us and lay hands on them. So if you're involved as a pastor, if you are a pastor, I'll ask you to come and join us in this laying on of hands. I see a number that are here, and so we're so glad that you are here and able to come and join us in this time. And let's lay hands on our brothers and sisters and thank God for their ministry already and for what God will choose to do. I'm going to invite you to stand with us as well. I'm going to invite you to stretch out your hand in faith towards them and ask God's blessing as we pray together. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, that, Father, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And, Father, one of the very special gifts that you give is the gift of leadership and the gift of pastoral leadership. And so, Lord, this evening we're thankful for these that have entered stated ministry. But, Lord, for those who've been called particularly to the ministry of Markham Missionary Church. And so, Father, for Pastor David and Karen, for Pastor Barry and Bev, we just thank you so much for them. We thank you for the way in which you have prepared them for this new chapter in ministry of this congregation, for this new chapter of ministry in their lives. And I pray, Father, that there would just be a bursting in anticipation, Father, in their hearts, Lord. And Father, David has spoken already eloquently of seeing the opportunities all around to make an impact and to make a difference in the growing communities of Markham. Lord, I pray that you would set your seal clearly and soon upon their ministry, Father. I pray, Father, that you will be pleased to multiply, Father, the efforts. Father, we know that when there is faithful sowing of the seed, that the miracle, Father, is latent in the seed. As you, Lord, have created that seed, and you have put the miracle of life and multiplication right in that seed. So, Lord, I pray that Pastor David and Pastor Barry will be faithful in their sowing of the seed. But, Father, as we pray for them, we know that we're praying for the entire congregation. The scriptures in Ephesians 4 make it clear, Father, that the role of leader is to lead. And that means that others are following, too. And that means that others are involved in this ministry. And so we bless you for those that you've planted in this community, Lord, to make a difference in sharing the love of God in Jesus. And Lord, I pray that in the days to come, that you'll be pleased to release through them a fresh blessing of your Spirit and of your love. Father, we know that there will be days of particular challenge and adversity, and that there will be times, Father, when a leader and people might not see eye to eye. But so we pray, Lord, that particularly the gift of your grace in those times would be evident, that there would be a seeking after you and a seeking a way through, Lord, and that there would be no occasion for the enemy to sow dissension and division, Lord. And so we pray, Father, very strongly for a spirit of unity, a spirit of anticipation, a spirit of joy, a spirit, Father, of commitment to the work of Jesus Christ. For, Lord, we are your plan. We are plan A. And there is no plan B. And this is how you have chosen to change the world. This is how you've chosen to make an impact and to share your love. So, Lord, we bless Pastor David and Karen, and we bless Pastor Barry and Bev, and ask, O Lord, that you'd be pleased to grant them the desires of their hearts. For, Lord, we know their hearts are fixed on you. And, Father, that they would have great days, good days, days full of blessing, days full of encouragement, days, Father, of a great harvest. And that's our prayer. And, Lord, we're so glad that you answer better than our praying. So we think of the great benediction. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that we could conceive or imagine, according to his great power that is at work within us. To him be glory forever and ever through Christ Jesus and the church. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Well, this has been an evening of celebration. And there are two individuals here that we'd like to express our thanks to. And they are Karen and Bev. And I'd ask, I know you just nicely got seated down again, but I'm going to ask you to come back up again, please. If Vangie and Brenda could make their way up as well. As a married man, I know how much support and encouragement my wife is. I can only imagine what a support Karen is to David, and what a support and encouragement Bev is to Barry. And so on behalf of the congregation, I'd like to present you these flowers as a token of our appreciation for you, and we look forward to ministering with you.
What a great evening this has been. We're just about to the conclusion. But doesn't it make you feel like singing? Yes. Then I invite you to rise and sing, He is Exalted. And this time there is a key change, so lots of sound, John. Let's sing.
sin. He is exalted forever, exalted in time will praise his name.
Nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy.
He is the Lord. Forever his truth shall reign. Rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Thank you. You may be seated. Now the choir.
Holy.
like me when